Hello and welcome to another Discourse About Discourse Educast. Today is Tuesday, May the 26th, and there's a very specific reason why I'm podcasting today, and that reason is that I am putting in an application to Littleton Public Schools for a technology integration specialist position. And this position would be managing about 13 schools and providing professional development, as well as sort of oversight in terms of collaborating with teachers and with curriculum and things like that in order to get more technology and Web 2.0 tools into the hands of classroom teachers. And this is a drastically different role for me than what I have previously done. And the reason why I'm applying is because Carl Fish, who works at Arapahoe High School, which is in Littleton Public Schools, emailed me a couple of weeks ago and said that this position was open and that he would like me to apply for it. And the more that I thought about it, the more I thought, wow, I really can create a lot of the change that I've been working so hard for on the podcast and online in this type of a role. But I'm really conflicted about it because I don't know that I'm ready to leave the classroom, and I don't know that the movement of School 2.0 and Classroom 2.0, I don't know that it needs a lot of its teachers to be leaving the classroom. And the subject of this podcast that I'd like to kind of direct it toward is, why is it that all of the early adopters, the first wave, as Carl Fish sort of described up at Ty, Colorado, I met him and Will Richardson and Bud Hunt up at the conference, the Colorado Technology and Education Conference, and he was talking about how there are three waves of I guess technology integration in schools, and we are part of the first wave where we are the early adopters. We are the ones who get it immediately, and then the second wave is people that are taught by us, and then the third wave are the people that just have to do it because they're either their job depends upon it or they've run out of excuses basically to not integrate technology and to not realize the potential that collaborative tools have for transforming the classroom. And but the more and more that I think about it, I do want to be in a position to create change on a district-wide level and on a school-wide level rather than just within my classroom and within my team. But does that get rid of this sort of grassroots nature of the movement itself? And maybe that's a good thing, maybe it isn't, but when I look at the landscape of sort of the edublogosphere, I see Wesley Fryer has left the classroom. I see that Will Richardson has left the classroom. I see Bud Hunt just recently left the classroom. And I see that the majority of the people that are using these tools are moving on from the classroom, and maybe that's a part of the first wave, but is that what we want? I talked to Mike Seafang about that particular property of School 2.0 as a movement, and he said, well, that is the classic case of brain drain. The people that see the value don't want to stick around to do it themselves. They want to teach other people how to do it, or they, you know, because it's so hard, you know, integrating and realizing that the potential of all of these new technologies and then getting students down to the student level, which is the most important level of the entire movement. It is really, really difficult to manage the technology and get it into the classroom, get it into the hands of the kids that need it. And that's the hardest part. And is it that I would rather go the easy route? And I don't think that this job by any means would be easy, But am I taking the easy way out, saying, okay, I'll just teach other people how to do it, rather than actually doing it myself? And so he described it as brain drain. And, you know, are we draining the expertise out of the classroom? I see, you know, there are a few people who are definitely staying in it for the long haul, although they're moving toward a more teaching teachers mentality, even though they are sticking in the classroom. Vicki Davis, classic example. She's doing some amazing things within the classroom, but she spends a lot of time at conferences. She's at NEC this week, basically putting out there all of the great tools that she has created or used, and resources that she created. And so I think that the people that are sticking in the classroom, you know, where is the second wave actually coming from? Is that right on the horizon, and we need to be in that position of leadership? I see Darren Kurapatwa. He has been doing this for longer than most people, and he's sticking in the classroom. But, you know, he's one of the founders of the K-12 Online Conference, so he is clearly very engaged in teaching others how to do this. So, you know, and that's part of the movement too, is that we are sharing and sharing alike. So, you know, where does that end with the properties of just sharing all of the ideas that we have, and then when does it become something official where our job is to share rather than to actually teach the kids in our classrooms? I also see Clarence Fisher as someone who is sticking in the classroom. He has been doing it for like 13 years, although, you know, the Web 2.0 stuff in the later part, or the more recent part of his career. But, you know, I see this I guess, movement toward a position of leadership, and teacher leaders and things like that. But, you know, is that what is best for us? Is that what is going to bring this into the mainstream? You know, if we are in a position to talk about how collaborative tools can transform the classroom, if we can talk about those sort of ideas to superintendents and to the sort of head honchos of districts, is that going to be better than having it bubble up from the teacher and from the classroom level? And I'm really struggling with it, and I'm sure that it's coming across that I'm sort of rambling all over the place, you know, where I really want to know what it looks like at the classroom level, what Classroom 2.0 actually looks like defined, and yet, I want to know, you know, what District 2.0 looks like. You know, when you're in a position to affect change on a grand scale, is that change as dramatic, as believable, as change just in the classroom level? It is hard for me to reconcile the teacher in me to say that I'm going to leave if this were an opportunity that actually does happen. Now, I do apply to this job with a sense of, well, maybe I won't get it, and I'll be just as excited to go on doing what I have planned for next year. And that's something that Mark Wakefield and I have talked a lot about recently, and he's the teammate who helped to develop the Academy of Discovery model. And, you know, what do we do with that? If I am moving on to a more district-wide position, what happens to the classroom that I leave behind? What happens to the kids that I basically promised that I would be there next year? You know, is that somehow not right? I need to think a lot more about that, and I need to be able to talk about it with people that have either made this transition, or people who have had said no. I'm not going to advance to a district position because my heart is in the classroom, and because the classroom is where I really will affect the most change for the most kids. So I guess I'm pleading with anybody listening who has thought about this transition, and who has either made the decision to stay or has made the decision to change. I think that it is important to note that there is some other factors going into this decision, including my family. I'm very aware that on a teacher's salary, it is not the easiest to have, well, really even one kid, but more than one kid. And right now we have an 8-month-old daughter, and we're sort of thinking about the future, and Kara wanting, my wife, wanting to stay home at least part-time. And so it's with that in mind that I also make this decision, because I don't think that we can make this decision solely based upon what is best for the School 2.0 movement. It's very much about an individual and an individual's decision. But I want to know how other people have reconciled this, and have come to terms with the fact that that they want to create the most change for the most kids. And I think if we frame it that way, and if I look at it through that stance, which position is going to allow me to make the most change for the most kids? Then that's the subject for debate. And so if you have any thoughts on that issue, and I would love to hear them. So if you want to leave a comment on the podcast, it is at bhwilkoff, that's W-I-L-K-O-F-F, .podomatic.com. You can also email me at benwilkoff@gmail.com. If you like this podcast or any of the other podcasts, you can always dig them on the Dig podcast site. And I look forward to hearing from you. I'd really like to develop this idea of the brain drain, the great first wave brain drain of School 2.0. And does it really exist, or is it all in my head? I think that either is a likely possibility, but I'm really worried about if all of the first wavers leave and we don't leave enough behind of the second wave. You know, is that okay? And even though we're trying to create the second wave at the administrative level, is that actually a reality? Can that actually happen? So I'm interested in your thoughts. Please do drop me a line, and I hope to hear from you soon.